Hey, this is Dave, the general manager of the podcast. Yeah, you thought it was Game Master. Wrong. I'm now managing things generally, as well as the Game Master bit. Anyways, remember, we are always raising money for the New Orleans Area Children's Hospital through Extra Life. There are two donation tiers that give you some rewards for the show. At the $10 level, we will name a settler after you. In this episode, you will see our $10 level donors take the stage as Rising Sun Settlement is underway. There's still some time to get your $40 donations in to add your own custom character to the campaign. Essentially, the sooner that you do that, the sooner I can get them into the show. I'm still working on donations from March, April to kind of get them back in with kind of the pace of the show. That was a lot harder to do than I expected, but I still really like it, so we're going to keep on doing it. We've had some wild characters like Captain Starstorm, our resident sewer superhero, and Nermala Newton, the Cats of Arturo, who are proficient at building weapons and using swords to slice Lonnie's face. Anyways, links for the campaign are in the episode description as always. Now, let's get to some governmental affairs.
Adventures of Lonnie, the Brotherhood of Steel Scribe, Clark, the Veteran Mercenary, Pep, the Gearhead Racer, and Hazel, the Traveling Scholar. This is Rat Rules, a Fallout tabletop RPG.
Now, okay, I think I'm losing my mind a little bit here, Lonnie, so...
No, we both saw a blue dog, and when we mentioned it to Pep and Hazel... You know how it's going to go down. Pep's going to think we're crazy, and Hazel's going to ask us 45 questions about the blue dog.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're not going to be able to answer like 98% of them.
Well, how about you tell Hazel, and I'll tell Pep, because I think I might actually be crazy.
Okay. It really feels like I drew the short straw there, but I will tell Hazel.
Now, Adam Malavant, I have a few questions for you.
Good luck getting answers, but sorry, that just slipped out. My bad.
Look, you know what? I'm going to be like 97 years old in a few weeks here, apparently, so whatever I can get out of her, I'm going to try and get. Now, Adam Malavant, see, here, the thing is, I get, like, the golf director thing is going to, like, eat all of Southern Louisiana. And normally, I would agree that that's a really bad thing. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I would just leave. I think you all should just leave. I think that's by far the best course of action. If you think the entire bottom of this area is going to be gone, I think you should leave. Turns out I can't really do that.
She holds out her hand and says, "Hold my hand, dearie."
A little creepy with the dearie, but I'm going to trust you.
Okay. So you grab her hand, and immediately your vision goes black, and you see a vision of... actually, it's the capital of the United States. It's the Capitol building. Completely and totally, even more destroyed... covered in fire and sludge, just absolute, almost like a fiery acid everywhere. And as soon as your vision kind of like comes back to your own head, she lets go of your hand and she says, "This is the fate in store for everyone."
It's not what I wanted to hear. Thank you for telling us. How do you kill it? How do we make this not happen, huh?
She looks at you and says, "We've been thinking for some time about ways to deal with the Gulf entity. Some of us decided to hide and wait. Others disagreed, but we could only do so quietly. We have not
thought about how to deal with this up until now. And that's why you're here. See, you and your company are blank spots in my vision. Something has happened to your fate that does not allow me to see. And what would you rather see? A blank future or a destroyed one?
Well, with a blank future, I guess you can sort of paint your own picture, huh?
Precisely.
Well, so you say there's more. They're thinking about this, but are doing so quietly. Mind filling us in on who that might have been? And it seems like that Ella Fitzgibbon's character might have been causing some ruckus and got found out about it. Was she one of your crew?
She looks at you and says, "No, she was not. There is, in fact, seven of us. I was one of the dissenters, along with a few others."
A few others. I was kind of asking who, whom may they be?
Yeah, we may need to round everyone up and come up with a solution. We are four blank spots, and I'm not sure that's enough blank spots to take care of whatever it is that's going to come out of the water. So
likely the dissenters have fled and have changed their names. I know not their locations, as they have returned to their blank status. Though we all started from a single seed, the Marty Bouffant.
Wait. Madame Malavance, are you...
You have an unnaturally high perception stat?
She kind of looks at you and laughs.
We're all special, but are you special?
She looks at both of you and says, "You see my gift. I have a gift, and I'm trying to do my best with it."
Yeah, well, I felt the gift of one of your bouffants earlier. I think you saw that, didn't you?
But they're all dissenters?
A few of us, the majority, rule. Therefore, we had to hide.
So there's one or two other bouffantlings that could help.
Very perceptive of you.
Okay. All right. So we've got one bouffantling that's hooked up to the thinking computer down in Vault 18. And we've got one right here in this radio station. We've got one calling himself the King of Old Nolans. So we're almost halfway there. But the two others are certainly not dissenters. They want to watch the world burn.
I have known them to be uneasy and difficult to deal with.
One of them expelled us through a water pipe, and the other tried to tell Clark to swallow his tongue. So we're in an accord there.
I didn't like that one.
I don't blame you, Moog.
Okay.
Like, that seemed really scary.
It wasn't ideal. Okay, so let's use some deduction here. Could you, Madam Malavance, could you tell us a little bit more about the special abilities of your other two dissenters? That way maybe we can find them and help bring you all together again so we can solve this problem.
Yeah, talent and abilities like that transcend fake names.
There was once one of us, nearly the first, with an incredible sense of strength. He is in hiding. Then there was another one of us, with almost a air about them that was unexplainable. He fled.
Lonnie, you ever heard anybody about lifting cars?
Super mutants. That's probably not what you're asking, though, is it?
I was kind of more thinking like a ghoul like the other bouffants have been, but, you know.
But are they ghouls?
Aren't they all ghouls not so far? Well, I guess they don't technically have to be, do they?
Madame Malvance is not a ghoul.
She's not? This whole time I thought she was.
No. She was distinctly a human when it was introduced. And the ghouls in Old New Orleans are not actually ghouls. They're just like cosmetic ghouls.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fake ghouls.
Which is what happened when Hazel went to the burlesque show and was like, "What was the ghoul experience for a ghoul like you?" And the ghoul was like, "I don't know."
Good question.
Yeah. Excellent question. Thank you. At this point, Madame Malvance looks at both of you and says, "I'm getting weary. But tonight, receive the message." And her eyes kind of roll back in her head, and she kind of goes to sleep.
I felt like that was good information.
A lot to parse there.
Well, signal. I appreciate what's been done here.
Thank you, Clark. Are we friends now?
That's a strong word signal, but I appreciate what you've done.
Signal knows Clark, friend. Clark, rough like Mirelurk skin. Signal soft like Gulper skin.
Okay, well, on that note, Signal, we have some sheet metal that I think your good strength would be most helpful putting the sheet metal to work.
Signal happy to help. Bobby clean everything. Bobby big janitor. Big janitor. Talk to Bobby. He's got system.
We'll leave you to it.
Bye, Lonnie.
Bye, Signal.
Bye, Clark. Bye, Clark.
Bye.
All right, so are you all leaving the radio station?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So everybody's going to kind of like come to the front, so everybody's included in the scene. You're standing in front of the radio station where essentially, like, Bobby has left and is kind of, like, wandering the settlement, making sure all of the areas that he's delineated are ready. You obviously know that his cleaning efforts have not gone to waste, and he's supplied essentially a great foundation for which to build structures on. Bobby, while you're in there, has also dragged a long table with four chairs in front of it to kind of the front of the radio station. Bobby sees Lonnie and says,
"Mayor,
Bobby. First council meeting start right now. Please take seats."
Okay, in the future, I'll schedule those, but I appreciate the initiative. I guess we're having a council meeting.
He interrupts you and he says, "Tiny humans bring tiny human table problems. Tiny humans solve other tiny human problems."
Got it.
Suggestion for tiny human table. First, hear problems. Glit, get clarification. Send away. Once all problems heard, make tiny solutions.
Let's take a look at these tiny human problems, I guess.
So what this is this is how you're going to do your settlement. So you're going to start with, essentially, you all are the town council, and people are going to bring you problems that you're going to have to deal with. Once they give you their problems, you are actually you're going to get more information out of them, see what you can do, see if there's like some sort of compromise or lay out a few different options. But once you do that, you're going to run into a building phase. So right now, that's going to be a, what did I call that? Dividing the work up. So there's 9 buildable areas. And essentially each of these areas will have a classification that you'll give it. So like there's like food, water, shelter, and one's like power workshop, and then entertainment. Those are kind of the options that you have right now. You don't really know like how to make a workshop area or how to make a, I don't know, a giant power station or, you know, a giant beast killing mega weapon, you know, stuff like that. But essentially every 5 settlers that you have is going to equal 1 settlement point. And so settlement points may be spent to begin work on projects such as a farm or a water purifier or a drive-in movie theater, like whatever you want within the delineations of that area. So once one or more of the 9 building areas is complete, you must expend 1 settlement point to defend it. And so this is all like background work while you all are busy. This is kind of what they're doing. And so you're going to need some people to defend it. If you don't spend those points, essentially that's going to create a greater risk that will attract raiders or monsters, that kind of stuff. And if you fail to meet the needs of the people seeking your advice and counsel, then those will create internal problems that have their own risks and factors. I'm not going to math forward you on this. I'm just going to kind of give you, like, essentially you've got 4 tokens to spend as you will once we get to the developing phase. But first, we will start with the town council phase. Does everything I say make sense a little bit?
So far, so good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. The only question I have is like, all right, so for the building phase, you have 4 settlement points, right? Yes. If we have 20 for right now,
you have 23 total settlers, and so okay. The your number is like you want if you got 2 more settlers you would be at 25 and you could have 5.
So say we build one structure that takes up a point and then it takes up another point to defend that, is what you're saying?
Right, but if you want to build if you want to build like a farm and a, like, I'm essentially combining food and water in one thing. So it's like if you want to buy a farm and then a water well, you can spend 2 points on that, but that's only 1 point to defend because you're only using that area. So there will always be 9 areas in the settlement. So it's not for everything you build, you have to defend it. It's for every area that you put stuff into. So you can build whatever you want. If you're like, I want to spend time and build a giant swimming pool for all my friends to swim in, you can do that. But that would be in the entertainment area.
And then if we spent 4 points essentially building that, we wouldn't have anything left over to defend with.
Okay. Essentially.
Got it.
All right. So you guys ready to hear some... is the council ready to hear some complaints here?
Aye.
All right. First up. Hey, my name is Shay. So question for the 4 of you. I'm assuming you're who I direct my question to. What are we going to do for food and or water? Old Nolan's had both, and frankly, we collectively haven't been out into the wilderness a bunch. Do you all have a plan for that, or like some sort of cooking implement, or some sort of like gardening implement, or just like a bunch of hunters that you have hidden in a cave that we're just entirely unaware of? What's the status on that?
Pep is gonna give out a big sigh. It's like,
well, Shay, I can tell you that we do have a natural well that we have discovered. We do need to build a water purification system in with it, but we do have water running right now. As for food, this is something that we are actively looking into, and I believe our Minister of Education might be able to tell you a little bit more about those plans.
I think that's my cue. So, a lack of protein is not a problem. We have plenty of stuff in the area we can actually actively hunt. Mire lurks, different animals that honestly we just have to kill them and eat them before they can kill and eat us. As for other supplies, a swampy area like this, we should be able to start planting and harvesting and gathering initially tar berries, water chestnuts, rice, taro roots, maybe rad rushes and watercress. We can eat kudzu, which is a good source of vitamins and minerals. And of course, both the rushes and cattails are good for crafting materials as well as being able to eat them. If we can find lotus flowers, we can use lotus root as well. And there, luckily, is a lot of glowing mushrooms we can use to make radaway, so we can deal with some of the radiation from the natural water spring until we get a water purification system set up. There is brain fungus, which, despite being used medicinally, also makes a fantastic soup. And there's plenty of Spanish moss, which honestly works both in the production of first aid antibiotics and antibacterial supplies, so we should be able to keep infection at bay in the meantime. And it is a swamp. These items do regenerate at a extremely high rate of speed, but we will eventually gather enough that we can start planting and cultivating them.
Wow. I feel really confident in the knowledge that you guys have about food. I feel really good about that. But the water situation, do you all have a water purifier ready to go for that, or what's happening there? Because we can't. I mean, I'm pretty sure we can't just drink. We can't drink out of puddles, right? We don't do that in Old Nolans.
No, we will be. We don't have a water purification system set up yet. We can. Make sure you're drinking clean water. There will be a little bit of radiation, but we can counteract the radiation with Radaway until we get the water purification system up and running. We have the power for it. We just need the water chip. And we actually have a couple leads on that. So we basically, we're going to need some help to get this up and running, but you're not going to be drinking. Actually, I 100% say it doesn't matter how thirsty you are. Do not drink the water from the puddles, people. Don't do it. We will set up a water boiling line. We'll gather water from the well. We'll boil it. We'll do whatever we need to make sure we have all of the water you need, and we will mitigate the danger of radiation as we go.
I'm going to have you roll intelligence plus speech for a difficulty 2.
I got one success.
So during this, Shay kind of looks a little confused and says, all right, it seems like that maybe you know what you're talking about. I'm going to go do back to what I was doing. And they kind of walk away.
Okay. That's fine. Just don't drink out of puddles.
They pull out a straw out of their pocket and they immediately...
No! Oh, God.
They did not do that. Next up, person approaches the bench and says, hey, greetings, council. It's Casey. So we've been thinking between the radio station and the trolley, there's not many places to sleep. Is there a way that we could have some beds or maybe a roof or a floor, just like something that we can feel safe with?
Yep. That is a priority. We do have the raw materials to be able to put a roof over your head. We're just working on the details to make it comfortable, but at the very least, we should be able to get something rudimentary to keep the elements off of you, and the more we're able to scavenge, the more comfortable it'll be.
Are there bunk beds in the radio station?
There were a few.
How many bunk beds were in there?
In my head, and there always has been, and I'm infallible, there have been 6 bunk beds.
Good enough.
And I'm being honest with you. That's just what I've envisioned.
In the trolley, were the seats cushioned, or were they just like bench?
They're bench. They're bench seats. Casey kind of looks at Lonnie and is like, okay, that sounds great. I see that we've got the sheet metal, so I'm guessing that you guys are going to do something with that, or we're going to do something. As long as we get that figured out, I am aces.
Yeah. That is a priority.
Okay, great. She goes off. Essentially, as a side note, if you have a resource and can back that up that you're going to use that resource for something, they're likely going to believe you. But if you don't have something like the water purifier chip or stuff like that, you're going to have to roll for that to be like, citizen, it is okay. The council is all knowing. Next up, then the last person to approach the bench says, what's up, chill cats? So I represent the local gang of extra cool people who really make the scene. But unfortunately, nothing is going on in the Rising Sun scene. All of us cool ass cats want to chill out, have some fun, and blow off some steam, you dig?
Oh, I like this guy. He's got spunk.
What is it you have in mind that would help you blow off steam?
I just want to have a cool time, my man. I want to have the coolest time that there could ever be. And for listeners at home, I'm doing a lot of body movement and like finger pointing and some real visual performance that will not
translate. It on, man.
Yes, there is
heavy gesticulation happening right now. Well, we do have a radio station here, and with any accumulation of music that we're able to find out in the West, we can have ourselves some musical entertainment.
I don't want to sit inside a stinky old radio station. Can we pump that music to the outside so we all can get the sweet jams of the wasteland?
I'm in favor of that. I think this gentleman here has great ideas. We could maybe build a little dance floor. Have a kind of a sock hop for you young folks, huh? Would you like that? Would you like that young person? Grooving
tunes. I love that.
We'll get started on that, and you'll be the first person to help us, right?
Yeah.
Your whole gang of fun-loving kids.
There's about 2 of us. We wear leather jackets. We're so cool. No. And we're just ready to like to really kick it up. We're gonna rise this sun to the next level if you guys want to.
So here's the thing. I like the idea of making the radio tower work better as well. So when it comes to it, you and your pal are going to be the ones that are gonna help with that, okay? You wanna see some fun? You gotta make it happen, my man.
We'll make it happen all day. Fun all day. Fun forever.
I think they just found
signals assistance for the variety hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got some ideas brewing for the council, but I believe that should be pretty easy to make happen given our current resources.
So, DM, do they have a symbol on the back of their leather jackets? Is it like the swamp foxes or like
you can see that they are starting. Like there is like the makings of some sort of symbol, but you can't quite make it out because they just started it when it seems like that it is not but maybe 30 minutes old. It's very new.
Swamp foxes rule. Oh God!
Do you say that because they would be about that? They would be like,
I totally would, and I would do it with an absolute air of sarcasm that they probably won't pick up on.
Right on, lady. Yeah, swamp foxes. That's a great name.
Nary, well done. Yeah, great, awesome.
And he walks away. And you have heard. You've heard everybody at the council, and now it is time to make a decision. So I've gone through kind of the settlement points. What are you wanting to do? You have 4 settlement points. So you could build, if you wanted to build a farm, if you wanted to use that resource to defend something, like what's your game plan? What do you want to do as a group to kind of build the settlement on the first day?
I think we should do food. Like, I don't know how much we're going to like gamify this, but food takes like time to grow. So I think it would be better to train a group of them as hunters. That way they get some combat skills and they're bringing in food.
True.
As the minister of defense.
Understood. It's also, it doubles up food and defense at the same time. So it is a 2-for-1 deal there. Because you're protecting us from stuff that could eat us, and then we get to eat them. So, you know, it's a win-win. I will say that as far as planting food like a farm, the sooner we start crops growing, the sooner we actually get some sort of payback for that. There are some crops that will grow much faster than others. I'm going to go with the Fallout standard, which is instead of cranberries, tarberries. I don't know if they will seasonally or if they will grow if you have the base structure, kind of like cranberries do. Rice is easy, but I think rice takes longer. I think that's pretty much established that it you might get 2 or 3 growing seasons out of it.
I'm not too worried about the semantics of like food, okay. Water, like that, the, yeah. Like the levels of that. The main thing I'm looking at is like if you think about Fallout 4 of like when you're in your settlement, you have like a happiness level and a defense level. And so they're going to come to you and say, hey, we want beds. And so like they're going to come to you like today. It was like essentially 2 basic asks for food and water and beds. And the other person wants a grooving old good time, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
I think cover and beds are a given. And yeah, I think for now, having hunters and protection takes precedence over planting.
Yeah. All right.
At least on a wide scale.
Okay. As mayor, Clark, I think you bring up an excellent point. If we could have some type of hunter-gatherer station where not only are we handling settlement defense, but also bringing in resources, natural resources that can be eaten, any of those components, anything like that, I think that might be a good start because a farm might be a long-term goal.
Plus, any animals that they end up killing, if they can get pelts from those types of animals, that can go towards our bed situation.
Right. This sort of this helps with resources. So,
yeah, beds, leather, armor, all sorts of goodies like that.
I am in agreement with maybe doing like a hunter gatherer, like a hunter's guild or something like that. If you know. Second, shelter. I do think we probably need to prioritize using this sheet metal to create some type of barracks so we can get people sheltered out of the elements. That's going to keep them healthy. That's going to keep them happy. Third, one of these plots could potentially be a bazaar, something where a lot of like mercantile can come in and out, but also, you know, Pep, you said sort of like a dance floor. And really, does it
community hub,
right? And does it doesn't have to be that sophisticated right now. Really, the only things that we need to be able to do are run some speakers from the radio station to this plot, and now we have a place where people can blow off steam. And we can develop it later. Does that sound reasonable?
All good settlements have a dealership. You gotta have a dealership.
It doesn't sound reasonable. You guys clearly have not spent enough time out in the wasteland. We have not enough food. We have shitty, unpurified water. We have... No
weapons. The water can be purified. Okay, so the water is clean. It's just not radiation free. If the hunter gatherers can get glowing mushrooms while they're gathering, I can use that to mitigate the effects of the radiation.
Okay, so we'll backtrack because we need enough resources to be able to defend these as well, right? Let's not over.
Yeah,
we need to make sure you build.
So, for example, if you built those three things, if you built the bazaar, if you built the hunter's lodge, and you built the shelter with the beds and everything, that would be three tokens. So you'd have one token left over to guarantee one of those things is not at risk. Okay. And not necessarily saying that something bad will happen, but there will be what they call an old dice roll to figure out if something bad does happen to areas that are at risk and what happens. Okay. And you won't necessarily be there for that. But it, so this is kind of like planning out like a week of what's happening.
Right. So let's
I think in character, Clark is always going to be the one that's going to like push for having that balance of defense.
I like that.
So, in character,
he's he should. He's the Minister of Defense. Mm-hmm.
So let's focus on safety. Let's focus on survival. Yeah. Let's split our resources between.
We haven't been out in the wasteland long enough. You've been out in the wasteland too long. We got a bunch of kids. They're not much older than me. I know what it's like. If we don't have something for these dummies to do, they're going to start wandering off. And pretty soon the settlement's going to be empty because these teenagers are going to be bored.
Yeah, I can organize some interesting survival training seminars for them. Pat, I mean, it's kind of my thing.
Instead of having a dedicated space, can we just get some of the speakers like playing outside, maybe get some music going or something? It won't be official, but at the very least, if we need to make morning announcements or, you know, play some music, anything like that, that might be a good morale add without dedicating space. It would just converting some resources.
I like that idea. Maybe we can double this up. Maybe we can actually pipe the music directly into the barracks.
I would like to report.
The barracks can be the area that they can, like, relax during the day, and then, you know, at night we turn the music off so people can sleep, but...
Right.
And to note, without dedicating if you, like, want to do a makeshift solution, that's fine, but if you don't dedicate a resource to fixing that person's issue, that is going to be a hit on your morale. So...
True, but there's only two of them who are really pushing for it right now, and if they die, that won't be a problem.
There was actually three. It was him and two people.
Clark, I am would like to dedicate the resources you need to set up a hunter-gatherer guild station, whatever you want to call it. So we'll have people trained to be able to go around the periphery and collect things. Hazel should be able to provide a pretty decent preliminary list, and maybe the four of us can go on some deeper excursions to see what's available and help target some stuff that they can hunt and they can gather. Signal should know where Meyerlurk is readily available, so that is a start.
We should definitely make them some makeshift weapons / shovels / whatever also. If they're going to be on defensive hunter-gatherer, they're going to need... I mean, we don't have weapons for them yet, so makeshift weapons are the best we got at the moment.
Next, we will be dedicating resources toward barracks. We will be enlisting the help of Bobby. And Pep, since you have power armor as well, that should make things go a little bit quicker. And... any opposed?
Not at all. How big are these pieces of metal? Would it make more sense to have it be more of a teepee or tri-shaped roof to use less material for more living space? Or can it be almost like an Iroquois longhouse? Like, are they long pieces of metal that can be shaped into essentially habitation tubes? I went too deep. Sorry.
Hey,
I see
the
numbers.
I'm still thinking about shovels and how they're going to get
everything
the shovels
floating in front of the DM's face. I'm like, wait, no, come back.
You can, like, you're gonna, like, these people are gonna be working with it a week, so you're gonna be giving them, like, a basic, like, whatever knowledge you have, you can impart to them in some, they're not gonna be experts in whatever it is. Like, they're gonna be able to say, okay, here's the foundation, here's the blueprint, we're workhorses, we're gonna go do our thing. So... Well,
The good news is Hazel is very good at survival and teaching people survival. The bad news is her survival base was mobile. She never was a part of a group that actually stayed in one place for more than a season. So long-term building, as she really doesn't have a lot of knowledge about that, other than, you know, what she's picked up from books.
So in conclusion, we're going to spend two of our settlement points, one on the hunting lodge slash hunters, and one on a shelter with essentially utilizing those bunk beds as well as additional beds for folk, enough shelter that everybody can sleep soundly. And then yes. We're going to use the additional two to make sure that those are defended throughout the week. We locked in on that?
Yes.
Anyone opposed? Motion basics stands. First. Passes.
Always the basics first.
There we go. So you all have decided that, and I'm going to say that for the rest of the day, you're kind of like laying out that foundation to people. We're not going to go over the exact scenes of like, hey, you know, this is what a hunting lot, like Clark's going to head up some of the hunting, Lonnie's going to head up some of the hunting, like Pep's going to be really like trying to rig in he's rigging the speakers to make sure that there's announcements and some light music for everyone. May's, you know, working on making sure that everybody knows, like, you know, how to use the sheet metal to get the things, working with the hunters. There's a lot of things going on.
How to boil water. Make sure you cook your food all the way through first. You know, the the basics.
You've laid out a foundation well enough for you all to sleep in. It's not a huge building, but it's a nice, like, a camping spot that you're not going to get wet. You might get a little buggy. But it's not gonna be that bad. So I'm gonna have you roll survival plus endurance for a difficulty 2 to see if you can get well rested.
So what was that again? That was
survival plus endurance, difficulty 2 to see if you can get well rested.
Survival. Come on, baby. Yes. I am well rested. Been
hitting 20s a
sleeping
lot.
Sleeping like a baby.
Pep's been hitting some 20s, but May and Lonnie, Hazel and Lonnie, have they're well rested, so they get 2 extra hit points. And I'm going to need everyone to do a perception plus energy weapons roll at a difficulty 1.
Oh, no.
God. Dang it, Pep.
I missed that.
219, Pep. That's funny.
I got a 0. Wow, Pep. Damn. So bad.
Did Pep sleepwalking cause?
You know what? Can I use a luck point to reroll one of those?
Sure, yeah, you can.
Yeah, I have a suspicion that might be important. Damn! I rolled an 18. Even worse. Okay, fine. I know nothing.
So, Clark, it's the middle of the night, and you kind of hear this, like, squelch of a recorder through the trees. You hear this kind of areas inhabited. We're coming up on it. It looks like it's actually here, so we'll need to be able to clear them out. It seems like they're sleeping, but, we'll do covert operations to commence and retake it.
Can I, since I hear this, can I try to sneak up on this person and see who it is?
Yes, you can. Agility plus sneak for a difficulty 1. You were able to hear them, like you got 2 successes on that, so you're able to hear them pretty well. So do a difficulty 1 agility plus sneak.
I got it.
Yeah. So you come up on a on the hill and you're kind of like hiding behind the trees, and you actually see four people dressed in initiate robes with energy weapons in their hand, kind of looking about. They are they're kind of talking into a holotape recorder as they're going through. You see that they have a marking on their left arm that signifies them as a squad under the name Hotel.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's all I want to do. I'll just sort of watch them until they leave, I guess, unless they do something else interesting.
They are walking towards the settlement, and you kind of hear over the radio that they are prepping their weapons to attack raiders.
Gee, I want to do this while I'm still like hidden. I want to call out. Hey,
roll
don't
ventriloquism.
Yeah, don't fucking go any further. We'll fucking kill you.
Tune in next time on Rad Rolls.